everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Join us, won't you, on a journey of self-discovery that we call the Flophouse Mini.
Uh-huh. Wow, thanks. Yeah, this is a mini episode, which means it's marginally shorter than a normal episode. In a regular episode, we watch a bad movie, then we talk about it. And then in our off weeks, every other week, we just do whatever we want. And guys, oh, boy, did I take that note to the Flophouse idea bank.
Oh, you're driving this one,
I started
huh?
that sentence yeah. without knowing where it was headed. Yeah, my idea here, of course, as you know, it's November.
Uh-huh.
And in
Checks
opposition
out.
And in opposition to No Nut November, I have
love this.
I have an episode called Oops All Nuts, which is I'm saying it's
we're
sponsored
gonna jack
by
off the entire episode.
Sponsored
yeah, right. Get
by
started.
Masturbation.
Stuart's halfway there.
Sponsored what? By masturbation. Just do it. Don't feel weird about it. No yeah. Nut November is tied
that's
to weird
thing.
Tax
don't
attitudes.
Feel weird about it.
Plus, there's
look,
like
who's it hurting? Other than you, if you do it too much.
Yeah, uh-huh. man. I mean, like it might hurt. Yeah, if you're like foregoing doing important things for it, then maybe you know dial it back a bit.
Oh,
but no,
I just meant
just do it.
It leads to chafing sometimes. But that's what yeah. lotion is for.
I mean, 100% my favorite like TikToks are the ones where it's just like a serious looking dude staring off like a pier somewhere. And the text overlay is all like the benefits of not jacking off. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
They
is that what
exist.
He's thinking about?
They don't exist. I have it here. Scientific studies say regular sexual activity lowers the risk for prostate cancer, improves memory, sleep, and immune cell function, and reduces inflammation and the risk of heart disease. So
Damn, is
I
this
say,
the, wait, did we have,
not all
we
you want.
Did we have a, is this a promotional spot for sexual behavior?
No, I'm just saying.
I guess.
I will say this. If you don't masturbate, if gravity turned off by accident, there would be more sperm in your testicles, which would help weigh you down back on the earth and keep you from floating
you
into outer
what?
Space.
You've changed my tune.
Why?
Never again. Yeah. No, I mean, it's mostly just a, you know, a hook to hang the hat of this weird
say,
premise I'm going to introduce. But.
Sorry, that's just okay. for men. Women, keep masturbating. It won't affect your anti-gravity on you at all. Just go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Ellie. Thanks for
I want to be
interrupting
inclusive.
As I again try and get into the premise of the bit.
Sure, yeah.
Oops All Nuts is what it is. And we're going to talk about some movies with the word nut in the title.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to answer a couple questions. Number one, have any of us seen these movies? And number two, if we haven't, does it seem like A, something you'd go nutty for? Or do you think it sounds not so good? So
I love that. I was worried you weren't going to have themed responses, but I'm glad you do.
If you don't know me by now, Elliot. Okay, so
I wonder how many Advil Dan had to take after stressing his brain out coming up with those puns.
We're gonna find Dan's secret notebook of jokes that were rejected at his day job, and it's gonna be like, "Oops, all nuts crossed out."
Well, that's after years and years of one of Elliot's and mine main jobs as writers of the Daily Show. Well, not main, but most frequent jobs, coming up with over the shoulder puns. My brain just works this way.
Yeah, it was a daily occurrence. Yeah.
Okay, so first off, one of the more famous films with nut in the title, it's The Nut Job. From 2014, rated PG, starring the voices of Will Arnett, Brendan Fraser, Liam Neeson, Katherine Heigl, Stephen Lang, and Maya Rudolph. And here's the
wow. Stephen Lang got some pride of place in Dan's intonation.
Yeah. Stephen Lang before Maya Rudolph too.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a those are the credit order, but I it was kind of a one of these things are not like the other intonation.
Avatar Stephen Lang.
Mm-hmm. Here's the IMDb synopsis. It goes, an incorrigibly self-serving exiled squirrel finds himself helping his former park brethren survive by raiding a nut store, a location that also happens to be a front for a human gang's bank robbery. So we got some cross-purpose heists, an animal heist, a human heist. A few facts. It's the most expensive animated movie co-produced in South Korea.
Oh, okay.
And the director of The Nut Job's most recent movie is an animated film from 2017 titled No Malone. So what do you guys think? What do you think? What has the sound to you?
Now, is No Malone is, when Post Malone doesn't show up for a gig?
That was my question. Is it about a gnome is alone, or is it that there's no Malones available?
Yeah.
No, it's gnome space alone.
Is that part of the Gnomeo and Juliet series of films?
No, but I will tell you that I saw that this movie existed when I was looking at an alternate idea based on all of our gnome name norm talk, which was movies with gnomes.
I was wondering, is the gnome in Gnome Alone named Norm? But at this point, I'm going to guess the answer is no.
No, his name is Gnorm, apparently.
That somebody on Twitter was sure to correct me that the character does pronounce his name Gnorm, and I was like, look, I don't know. I thought I made it very clear that this was not a movie I had personal experience with.
I'm pretty sure there was four guys talking about a movie they'd never seen and just Googling images.
That seems accurate. That's
okay, so The Nut Job. I have not seen The Nut Job. It's an animated movie for children.
Yes, and Elliot, this would make it the most in your wheelhouse, having children.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've ever had
that. I have not seen it. What year did it come out?
2014.
So that was the year that my older son was born, and so I managed to avoid all the children's movies that came out that year. Okay. But if you have any questions about the Hotel Transylvania series, I can now answer that for you.
Because certainly movies expire after 1 year, and there's no way that a child would ever see a movie made before he was born.
In my house, they're either going to watch a movie that is 80 years before they were born, or they're going to watch a movie from this year. Nothing else.
Fair enough.
So the Hotel Transylvania movies, are they more or less horny than the Munsters movie that we just watched?
I mean, less, I suppose, but...
Although there were a lot of people on the internet who were apparently horny for the Invisible Man and mad that
they were very
unhappy
when they found out that the character who wears glasses and sounds like David Spade was not a Jack Skellington sort of goth emo hunk when it was revealed what he looks like.
Oh, that's too bad.
But anyway, I have not seen The Nut Job. And what were my categories? It sounds like something I would go nutty for.
Yeah, and before.
Before you make your final judgment,
I just want to say it has a 37 on Metacritic. 37. So,
number two.
Does it seem like something you'd go nutty for, or do you think it sounds not so good?
Well, with a 37 on Metacritic, I think I might be into it, actually.
Well, I should let you know, on Nutacritic, it gets 100%. That's critics who specialize in movies about nuts. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm
going to
say
on.
That I it's oh. not nut nut in my wheelhouse. Was that
not in your wheelhouse?
Was that it?
Yeah. The next film with nut in the title we got here is 2017's The Taste of Betel Nut, not rated. It's from Hong Kong.
Okay.
A film with, as far as I can tell, no Wikipedia page, in case anyone wants to work on that.
Is this the one where when you say betel nut, the taste appears in your mouth?
This one, the summary, and I apologize if I mispronounce anything, but Lee Ki works for a dolphin show. His friend Rin Yu works karaoke on the beach along the coast where they live. When a young woman, Bai Ling, joins the two men, a three-way relationship seems possible.
I'm into it.
Together, they set out to test the limitations of a restrictive society and their own sexuality. But a shocking event that rocks them to the core will have a deep and lasting effect on them. And as I said, no Wikipedia page, but I will provide the background that betel nut is actually a type of berry that is chewed widely across Asia with effects similar to nicotine. And also similar to nicotine, it has a litany of negative health effects on nearly every part of your body. So if you're not already chewing betel nut, maybe don't start.
The description
of
the movie
makes your teeth really, really brown, I think.
The description of the movie kind of sounds like Ito Mama Tambien, but it has a dolphin show, so it's got to be better, right?
Yeah, because it's like Ito Mama Tambien with Zeus and Roxanne thrown in. It sounds like Ito Mama Tambien with a little bit of Burning. And those are both really good movies. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? I'll go nutty for it. I was like,
let's go nutty.
Well, okay. I'll nuts and bolt to the theater to see it. I couldn't remember the category.
Okay. Stuart, you said you were into it as soon as you heard that there was a
dolphin show and a threesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Here's a movie, you know, as we go further back in time, I feel like there's more and more chance that Elliot will have seen one of these. Not that they're all in, like, chronological order, but this one is
A
little older. This is from 1969.
Perfect it for has Elliot.
It bears
That's an, my favorite number in it, 19.
An M rating.
Ooh.
And the title is Some Kind of a Nut. And the description is, in this comedy satire on conformity, Dick Van Dyke plays a Manhattan bank teller who grows a beard when he develops a rash from a bee sting. He is promptly fired from his job while his coworkers stand behind him. And that, again, stars Dick Van Dyke, Angie Dickinson as his wife, and Rosemary Forsythe. Written and directed by Garson Kanin, who wrote Born Yesterday and Adam's Rib, and directed My Favorite Wife, as well as doing work on the screenplay. So that is Some Kind of a Nut from 69.
I have not seen that one. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. This one, you know, I mean, I'm supposed to be the sort of impartial moderator of this whole...
Yeah, but it's hard. But
and you've been doing a great job keeping your objectivity, yeah.
This is maybe towards the top of the list of movies on this that I'm kind of curious about now. The idea of Dick Van Dyke in a satire about conformity.
My guess is that...
grows a beard because he gets stung by a bug? What was the...
Yeah, he gets stung by a bee, I think, or he gets a rash, grows a beard to cover it up, and then he's fired, presumably because now he looks like one of these newfangled hippies.
Yeah. That's my guess. This is a movie that, it sounds like there's a lot of potential, but the late 60s especially were a time when there was a lot of kind of lugubrious comedy with older people trying to kind of grapple with the way young people do things. So I'm worried it might be one of those, and at some point Dick Van Dyke's going to go to like some kind of hippie rave and a band that was that had like a one-hit wonder career at the time got hired to do it, and there'll just be a scene of them playing while young women dance, and Dick Van Dyke kind of dances in a goofy way and looks like confused and bizarre about what's going on, like bewildered. I'm worried that scene's going to happen with a lot of flashing colors and lights and things like that, but maybe it doesn't.
Do you dislike that kind of scene because you fear that someday you'll be the Dick Van Dyke in that scene?
I mean,
surrounded by young people dancing and...
I'm feeling bewildered. I've always been the Dick Van Dyke in that scene. Even when I was a young person, I was the Dick Van Dyke in that scene. But it's more that the... There's a lot of those movies at the time where an older person is kind of confused by young people, and that's played for laughs, and then they're like, this is the funniest thing that's ever existed. Let's have this scene go on for 17 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's the same thing that happens with comedy car chases a lot of the time, where they're like, you know what's funny? Cars kind of sliding around and bumping into each other. Let's have that happen forever. We'll call it the Blues Brothers.
Now, Elliot, I know the sort of late 60s movie and movie scene you're talking about, and I know the lugubrious pacing you're talking about. The lugubrious pacing is really the problem. I will say that while a modern, you know, show doing a thing where they're like, aren't kids weird these days? Generation gap, shrug. Like, that would anger me. But I am charmed by seeing, like, films from earlier generations where out of it, adults make fun of with it teens.
I guess so. Yeah, I could see that. Sure.
So what do you guys say, though? Are you nuts to butts for this one? Or are you
nut it up. I'm on board. Nut it up.
Okay.
I'm going to say nut for me on this one.
Okay. So for the last film before our break for our sponsors.
Which better be fucking Planners or some shit.
our sponsor today, which is, oh no, the Peanut Allergy Safety Council.
Well, no, peanuts are a legume, so we're safe.
Oh, great. Good. Thank you.
So, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm most worried about, the legumrious pace of these movies.
So, you know that you knew that this had to be on here from 1987. It's a little film called Nuts, rated R.
After you mention nuts, I'll complain about. I have a complaint about legumes.
Okay.
Which people go, They go, you know, a peanut's not actually a nut. It's a legume. As if I'm supposed to know what the fuck a legume is. Like I just go around knowing what legumes are all the time.
Yeah, because it's weird for you to just wander around spouting facts.
I'm just saying the idea that I'm supposed to be like, oh, it was a legume this whole time, as if I have any
that
context
changes
for legumes
everything.
Other than a peanut being it. Yeah, exactly. You know,
like I need to amend my will.
When people go like, a tomato is not a vegetable, but a fruit. I'm like, I've heard it before, but I know what fruit is. I know what vegetable is. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. A legume, I don't know. It's. I only know it in terms of peanuts being it, surprisingly. Yeah.
When they're like, Elliot, tomato is a fruit, not a vegetable. And Elliot's like, I wasn't going to eat that shit anyway.
Get it away from me.
Okay. Well, the
give
air
me an
of
onion,
that-
so I can just take a bite out of it. Yeah.
Well, the air of that announcement was only let out a little bit by Elliot's bean rant. This is from 1987.
Elliot's a real bean dad. Mm-hmm.
I am only in that I'm a dad, and me and my family love to eat beans. That's the only. Otherwise, nothing in common.
The plot of Nuts.
Hashtag not all bean dads.
Plot of Nuts is thus it goes thusly a high class call girl accused of murder. Fights for the right to stand trial rather than be declared mentally incompetent.
Is that what Nuts is about?
Yeah, and look at this. Listen to this cast. You got Barbara Streisand, Richard Dreyfuss, Maureen Stapleton, Eli Wallach. Those are the top four.
Did you say Eli Wallach?
Eli Wallach is in it.
Oh,
it's based on an off Broadway play by Tom Topor, not Torpor, as I originally.
So he's not a vampire who has taken too much damage and instead of dying falls into this weird fugue state that's called torpor.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not Topol, the star of Fiddler on the Roof.
No, it's Tom Topor, who also wrote The Accused. And this one's directed by Martin Ritt of The Long Hot Summer, HUD, Ombre, Norma Rae, and other films.
Sure,
now,
yeah.
Is he related to the like Ritt clothing or hair dye company? It's hair dye, right?
Well, how's it spelled?
I'd have to. I don't know. I didn't know this was a spelling
well,
show.
Well, you know, have your research in front of you before you ask a question.
Dan, is Martin Ritt? Right. Yeah, fair point, counselor. Is Martin Ritt related to Ritt F. Habeas Corpus?
Yeah, that famous character.
That's the name of like a Dick Tracy side character.
So, a little trivia.
Ritt Die is spelled R I T.
Oh no, Martin Ritt spells his name with two T's, right?
Yeah.
Much like a certain Elliot Kalin. Two T's unite, me and Martin Ritt. Brothers of two T's, we're two T brothers.
Yes, you're a real TT boy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's like TT Barnum said, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
A few facts about
there's
nuts.
A sucker born every minute. That's what TT Barnum said.
This is Carl Malden's final film. It's also Leslie Nielsen's final dramatic film role the next year.
Before he became a creature of pure parody.
And yes, never looked back. And also Barbara Babs Streisand got $5 million to appear in this film, which is the highest salary for an actress up until that point for Nuts.
Hey, yeah, get that bag, honey.
Big hit movie Nuts based on a play. So
I'll tell you why I'm curious to see Nuts? This movie. I've never seen it, but I do remember seeing the commercials for Nuts airing on WPAX Channel 11, New York's movie station, when I was a kid, and thinking it must be a comedy because it's called Nuts. And so I'm very curious to see it. It's one of these movies from the – I feel like there's a lot of movies from the 80s that I never saw because I wasn't old enough to see them at the time and then just never got around to them later.
Yeah.
And I've been slowly catching up on that. So, yeah, I would go to see Nuts.
Yeah, a robot cop. Okay. Only in Detroit, I guess.
This is another one of the top ones on this list that I'm actually kind of curious about, both for the, of course, top-notch cast
the
and
cast.
Also...
Top-nuts cast.
Also, to flashback...
He's got you there.
To flashback to a time when actors were highly paid for starring in courtroom dramas and
So what other characters do they reveal in the end credit scenes that then go on to be in the sequels?
I don't know what bit you're doing. Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, that's the kind of movie actors get paid a lot of money for now, is to play a character who showed up in a few books in the 1960s, and now that's the only characters left. So
is
that's
Pip
right.
The troll in it.
I mean, Pip the Troll's a great character. Anyone from the Starlin world is a great character.
You know, this isn't really a spoiler. It's a don't bother to stick around. There's no very end of the post-credit scene in Wakanda Forever, and I was so relieved. I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, cool. Heads up.
There's just like a middle of the credit scene?
There's shortly after the beginning of the credits, we pop back for a little bit of something.
Dan, but, is it Pip the Troll?
No, Pip the Troll is nowhere to be seen.
Oh. Well,
okay, everybody. Make sure we put the spoiler tag up front on this episode.
Spoiler, no Pip the Troll in Wakanda Forever.
Pips. This is rated NP for no pips. I feel like that's a mercy on the audience because that movie's like 2 hours and 40 minutes long, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wakanda Forever, I haven't seen it yet, but.
I'll tell you, the only
feels
the only
like
parts,
it, right?
Well, the only part
forever.
No,
man, what is Wakanda Forever?
actually, the only parts I felt bored during Wakanda Forever were the standard issue pre-viz Marvel fight scenes that were just as boring as they have been.
Yeah. Every time I see the poster, I can't stop thinking about that fucking tweet about Ruth Wakanda Forever, and it both makes me happy and makes me want to die forever.
That was horrible. Yeah.
Guess what? Dr. Game Show has made it to 100 episodes on Maximum Fun.
Oh, that's true. I knew that.
Well, to celebrate, we are releasing our entire Earwolf archives to Max Fun members. That's anyone who gives $5 or more monthly to support podcasts like Dr. Game Show.
That's 63 episodes with in-studio comedian guests like Jason Mantzoukas, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers, Joe Pera, Todd Barry and Janine Garofalo, Connor O'Malley, Chris Gethard, and more.
Plus three bonus episodes that include two pilot episodes. Wow, two pilots must be good.
Find the feed at MaximumFun.org/BOCO, B-O-C-O.
Stands for bonus content.
Presenting the new MaxFunStore.com. We've got shirts for your torso, hats for your head, drinkware for your finest beverages, and so much more. Starring your favorite MaxFun shows with new and classic designs. Find the perfect gift for the podcast fan in your life. Heck, that could be you. We're not judging. Head to MaxFunStore.com now. That's MaxFunStore.com.
So now that we've reached the midpoint of our nut film rundown,
it's the nut
adventure.
I just want to say that this episode is sponsored by Lumi Labs. If you're listening to a podcast that's riffing on No Nut November by talking about a bunch of movies with nut in the title, you've probably heard about microdosing. You sound like a pretty hip person. Mm-hmm. If not, please just know that all sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. You know, do you think that I could come up with an idea like this without microdose gummies? You'd be a fool.
Yep.
Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more,
gateway to nuts
about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code FLOP, FLOP is what it spells, to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. But again, that's microdose.com. Code FLOP.
Yeah, I and, literally just re-upped my stash of
yeah, you know the lingo.
Yep.
Okay,
I gotta
so,
pass with these cool kids.
Hey, Dan, do you want to hear my new slogan for Microdose Gummies?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
hey, can I have some of those? Those what? Microdose Gummies.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man, you should have checked with them to see if you get paid extra for
that. Yeah, they wanted that.
I know.
So
my future is in advertising, or should I say nutvertising. Dan, take us back to the nuts, shall we?
Yeah.
What well, a the transition.
The next title.
Talk about a nut
way. Who is this, George
That's
Lucas?
A segue for nuts.
We return to one of the more recognizable titles on the list, despite being a huge bomb. This
what,
film
like
is
the
from
peanut butter solution, like
1994. It is called Mixed Nuts.
I figured Mixed Nuts was the one you were talking
PG-13. What's the story of Mixed Nuts? I'm glad you asked. Philip runs a crisis help hotline with Catherine and Mrs. Munchnick. I don't know if she's related to Mushnick from the, but this is Munchnick, I guess. That's the easy part. Now it gets tricky.
Stanley, Ellis Island changes all names.
Yeah.
Stanley loves evicting people, and he evicts Philip. Philip loves helping people, and he's loved by Catherine. Catherine is loved by Louis, who loves writing songs. Chris loves dancing to songs and loves to wear large dresses. Gracie also loves to wear large dresses because she's pregnant. She loves the baby's father, Felix, who loves to paint.
Dan, are you okay?
That just leaves Mrs. Munchnick, who hasn't been loved by anybody in a very long time. Whoever, whatever user of IMDb who wrote that, congratulations. This is a film directed by the queen of romantic comedy, Nora Ephron, and co-written with her sister, Delia Ephron, starring Steve Martin, Madeline Kahn, Robert Klein, Anthony LaPaglia. Who else is in there? You got, what's his
heavy
face?
Heavy hitters.
Gary Shandling.
What's his face is in it? Oh.
Adam Sandler, young Adam Sandler. Many other notable comedians and stars. It had a box office of $6.8 million on a budget of $20 million. It's a remake of the French comedy, La Père Noël est un ordre. And it's a Liev
Schreiber's theatrical. What does that directly translate to, Dan?
Well, Father debut. Christmas is something, right?
Yeah, Father Christmas is a something. Let's look up what the...
Throw that shit into Google Translate.
Yeah, let's see. Wait, why? Okay,
well, Dan has trouble with Google Translate.
English.
I'll just say that this is another one that I've never seen, but I'm curious about, if only because it's one of those movies that has an amazing cast, and I remember seeing ads for it, and yet I've never heard anyone talk about it ever in the history of my life.
So,
and I'm intrigued by flops of this era,
the mid '90s, early mid
'90s. Yeah, I mean they're all. I guess they're kind of boring usually, but that's just because they don't have enough. They're not Fast or Furious enough for me,
guys.
I think there's something about movies from that time because I grew up during that time where it's like, oh, it feels like coming home. Like movies from like the late '80s, early '90s. It's like, oh, this is. I can pull these on like an old pair of sweatpants. You know, like some cozy pajamas.
Two legs at the same time.
What I do is I put them on my sweatpant frame and then I jump into them. I climb on the bed and I jump into them, into the pants off of that.
Yeah.
But now you got to shut up because this is a good payoff.
Okay.
The meaning is, quote, solid waste from the bowels of people or animals. So basically, Father Christmas is a shit is the...
Oh, I see.
So there you
Hilarious.
Go. That's a better title than Mixed Nuts, but it doesn't apply to the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's nuts in the shit. You never know. Sometimes.
So, could be. They don't digest easily.
You both were going to go nutty for Mixed Nuts is what I heard, I think.
I think so, yeah. I feel that's a good interpretation of what we just said.
Okay. Well, you know, next up is a film from 1968.
2001, A Nut Odyssey.
This is a Soviet movie.
It's a nut world.
The nuts are coming. The nuts are coming.
A Soviet film from 68. Its keywords for genre on IMDb are comedy, romance, war film. Ooh. And it's called...
Only the Soviets can do that.
It's called A Hard Little Nut. And the description is, during World War II... Two Soviet soldiers, man and woman, accidentally parachute into a Nazi camp. The film's title is a pun on the word nut in Russian, Oreshek, as the lead character's last name is Oreshekina. So that's all the information I have on A Hard Little Nut. There's not a lot about it to be found. But, Elliot, this seems like, I don't know, I've fingers crossed, this sounds maybe up your alley.
It totally sounds up to me. I've never seen it. You know me when it comes to Eastern European movies. I know the former Czechoslovakia better than I know Russia when it comes to 60s comedies. But it sounds super fun to me. I mean, it's got all the things you need for a comedy. You've got the horrific Soviet experience of World War II. You've got phrase Nazi camp, which you can't go wrong with that in a comedy description. I think I'm gonna have to try.
I mean,
to find
maybe
this
maybe when they say camp, they mean like a campground.
It's possible. Yeah, maybe it was summer camp. And you know, if there's a country that did humor well, it was the USSR, which I know
classic,
is a collection of different states, different countries.
I mean, but, it's not that far from Hogan's Heroes, right?
No, that's true. And Hogan's Heroes, as everyone knows, is a laugh riot, a gut-busting laugh riot that in no way makes light tastelessly of a particularly terrible time in human history. But I feel like I do want to see it. I'm just curious about it.
Okay. Stuart, although, what do you...
There's going to be some scene where the Nazis are at some kind of hippie rave and there's a rock and roll band playing and there's lots of young ladies dancing and flashing lights and colors and the Nazis are like, huh, what? And they're bewildered.
Like groovy, baby. Shagadelic. Uh-huh. So if it's going to be shagadelic, I guess it's, I'm going nuts for it.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
We're nuts for this one. Yeah.
Here's another, our second film. That is based on a play. It's based on the 1925 play of the same name. It's called The Poor Nut, 1927. Synopsis, a shy botany student is infatuated with a girl, but gives her the wrong impression of what he's really like. That could mean nearly anything. But that's...
Your imagination runs wild.
Let them run wild. Directed by Richard Wallace of A Night to Remember, starring Jack Mulhall, Charles Murray, and Gene Arthur. And a little bit of trivia. This was Paul Kelly's last film before he was convicted of manslaughter and sent to prison in mid-1927. By the time it was released, was behind bars. And distributors opted to remove Kelly's name from the credits, even though he was featured in a prominent role.
Dan, I gotta interrupt and say thank you for allowing us to rightfully add the true crime tag to this episode.
Finally.
So this sounds pretty good. Like I love romantic comedies that also include science, like Love Potion Number 9 and Hollow Man. So I'm into it.
Wait a second.
Stuart is.
I've only started Hollow Man
away from his microphone with like a little devil look on his face.
Yeah, Stuart has wheeled out of camera range.
Got him.
Sounds pretty good. Okay. Well, The Poor Nut. What do you think about this? Does this sound up your alley? It's about a botany student infatuated a girl, gives her the wrong impression of what he's really like.
Yeah.
I mean, who among us?
Nut to be missed.
Who among us early in our romantic relationships maybe don't, you know, present the full truth of who we are as a person? It's a relatable story.
It's true. We've all been there. We've all been botany students.
He's making a hard sell.
Infatuated with a girl,
here.
But give her a wrong impression of what we're really like.
Guys, we've all done that. I bought some stock in the poor nut.
You're really pushing that poor nut. Yeah, you bought the stock before you learned about the Paul Kelly thing.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm looking it up now on IMDb. I'm not familiar with it, but I see Gene Arthur is listed as one of the cast members, and I love Gene Arthur. Who doesn't? From Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. You Can't Take It With You. She's in lots of great stuff.
Is she adorable, related to Arthur, the guy who's stuck between a moon and New York City?
No, but she is related to Arthur the Aardvark from the children's book and television series.
Did we ever get anyone to rescue Arthur with the jaws of life?
That's what happens. Let this be a lesson to masturbators everywhere. The man didn't have enough semen weighing him down, and now he's caught between
the
moon
and New York City. That's a good point,
yeah. There you go. Well, with that, we go to our final film of the night. This one's from 1935. Third film adapted from a play of the same name.
Elliot is drooling when you said 1935. He's like, I can't wait.
I was like the wolf in the Tex Avery cartoons. Tongue lolled out, head turned into a steam whistle. Yeah.
It's called The Nut Farm. It stars Wallace Ford and Betty Alden and is directed by George Wagner of The Fighting Kentuckian and The Wolfman. The synopsis is Bob and Helen decide to move to California and make a fresh start. Bob wants to buy a nut farm, but Helen dreams of being in the movies. While Bob is looking for a farm to buy, Helen is taken in by a group of scam artists who promise to make her a star. Helen's brother Willie tries to prevent her and Bob from losing all their money to the scam artists. That's The Nut Farm.
I do like the introduction of Willie late in the game on that description.
I was surprised just reading it.
Yeah. So
it was a real twist. Yeah.
So, you know, if people can buy a zoo, they might as well buy a fucking nut farm. So I'm in.
Yeah.
Nut farm is a good start.
Out of nuts. We might as well buy a whole farm of those nuts to make a bunch of pencils.
I mean, I drink milk made out of nut all the time.
Let's go into the pencil biz.
You know? I got the only problem is I had a nut farm briefly, and unfortunately, the Nutcracker showed up. And that guy and his whole army, they just wrecked all my nuts. Yeah. And I was like, I had to call in a rat king to get him to leave. And it was a whole deal. It was a whole ordeal.
And I have a nut farm allergy. Not to nuts, but as soon as they're gathered together agriculturally.
You just to the agricultural techniques that raise such a crop. Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? Are you going to go nut for the nut? Nuts for nuts?
I'm definitely going to go nuts for the
numeral for nuts?
I'm going to say... I'm going to say nut without my daughter. Let me at that movie.
I'm going to say nut thing will keep me from seeing the nut farm. It's got nut Wallace
thing
Ford in it.
Compares to you being the nut farm.
And Wallace Ford is a cast member, a supporting cast member of my second favorite movie of all time, Shadow of a Doubt. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to see. Maybe the nut farm also has the spine-tingling thrills that one of Hitchcock's great under-heralded masterpieces also possesses. Because it's got the same actor in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably the same.
Now, what if... Now, Dan, if you had to choose one of these movies to be mashed together with another one of these movies, which would it be?
In some sort of nut butter.
like a nut medley or a paste.
Exactly, yeah. To mush it into a butter or a paste, yeah.
Well, I mean, like in a sort of a culinary way or as a movie?
As a movie.
Okay, because I feel like culinarily you want to have the mixed nuts in there no matter what because you're getting a wide variety of nuts.
I would argue whichever variety is a more fertile vein for improv comedy.
Let's see. Let's put mixed nuts and nuts together so that Barbara Streisand, you know, can call the crisis line that Steve Martin had, she is in crisis. She, you know, they're trying to make her out that she has lost her sanity, and this is why.
Surprisingly reasonable.
She's a prostitute.
Yeah, surprisingly reasonable.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing I did. Oops, all nuts.
As the night winds down, that nutty moon is high in the sky.
Yeah, so why not turn off this podcast and, you know, if you want to, you know, not take place in No Nut November, you can. And if you don't, that's fine too. Do whatever you want. Don't do some stupid thing based on some stupid fake science.
I'm just worried that what Dan's going to do for D's Nuts December, that's going to be rough.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. If you want to watch a movie about nuts, if you want to eat a nut, if you want to be a nut, sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
I am loving watching you guys come up with ways to come up with this, like, final soliloquy.
I have no idea. There's no real, like, lesson to learn to tie
What's
this
the
off.
Thread here?
There is none. I'm desperately trying to remember what I saw in the Nutgina monologues.
Exactly.
The series of monologues written by Eve Nutzler.
So always remember, NUT stands for Never Underestimate... this. And
wait,
this
so the
is
S,
the podcast, the Flophouse.
Wait, the S in nuts is the last letter of the this that the T stood for?
Yeah.
That's math.
Thank you to our our network, Maximum Fun.
Network.
For keeping us on the network even after this episode drops. Thank you to Alex Smith. Who edits this and shapes it, hopefully. And thank you.
Shapes it?
No. It's perfect. It's a perfect jewel as it is. You know?
Yeah.
So the thing is that Alex is like a ghost, and we're at the potter's wheel trying to make this awesome episode. And Alex is like, I'm going to make that shit even hotter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And thank you all for listening. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
And I've been Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin, and you know Kalin stands for Keep Always Laughing at Nuts.
Good nut to you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.